men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. All flesh is like the grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. Well, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven, and it's settled right here on this earth. Amen. In this wonderful book we call the Bible, inspired, infallible, inerrant, impeccable, indestructible, powerful, and precious, and perfect, and pure, and pontifical, and preserved for us in our own language in the King James Version. Thank God for the King James Version. Thank God for the Bible. I'm glad it's our book. It's our textbook. Always has been and always shall be. The Word of God as it's given to us in the King James Version. Now I'm going to read Matthew chapter 14. I want to read verse 21. It's really not a part of my text, but it introduces some things that I'll mention in my text a little bit later on. So I'll read beginning at verse 21 and down through verse number 33 after we pray. Our Father, we are grateful for your blessings this day. We're thankful for Worth Baptist Church, for our pastor and our people. Thank you for what you're doing in this place week after week, month after month, year after year. Thank you that the seed was planted a long time ago that brought this church by your grace and your power and your spirit into existence. And for these now almost 65 years, this church has been a bastion of holiness and grace and mercy and peace and gospel all of these years. And I pray that it will never change. Keep us on the firing line. Help us to love souls. Help us to reach out into the community and around the world to bring them to Christ. On this summer, Sunday night, maybe someone in this congregation is without the Savior. Oh, that this would be the hour when they'd come to know Him. For those that are needing a church home, that they might find it here at Worth Baptist Church, even tonight. And for those, dear Lord, that are anxious, perhaps afraid, don't know which way to turn, don't know what to do. They've tried a lot of things. May they trust Jesus Christ and your goodness and your mercy and your kindness and your grace, your long suffering and patience to us. Now bless, I pray again, the reading of your word and the preaching is our prayer in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 14. And verse number 21, introducing my text. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men beside the women and children. Now my text begins actually in verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, please watch this, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. Push the pause button right there for a second. Every serious student of the Word of God should study the prayer life of Jesus Christ. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway, I like that word, straightway, immediately, forthwith, Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter, God bless the memory of Peter, he's always speaking up. He's the spokesman. He's the one that was braggadocious, always saying something, answering a question when nobody asked him anything. A great guy he was. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore, why didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Now, when this story opens, Peter had just witnessed a marvelous demonstration of the miracle-working power of Jesus Christ. There's nothing like it in all the annals of literature. It's the feeding of the 5,000. And Matthew, remember, said when I read there, verse 24, you got it, besides the women and children. Now, folks, you know, if you've got 5,000 men, you're going to have at least 5,000 women. Hello. And if you've got 5,000 men and 5,000 women, you're going to have about 15,000 young'uns. So it must have been a crowd, and the estimates go up by most Bible scholars, of 25,000 people that Jesus fed that day with one little boy's lunch, five loaves and two fish. I was told a wonderful story this morning. I don't remember all the details of it, but my friend is sitting right out here. Stand up, brother. Tell us your name. This man, thank you, sir. This man was a student of mine many years ago, he and his wife. But he said to me when they were in the, he was in the war zone in the service. They walked up to him, a fine-looking young man in the service, and said to him, do you remember me? Well, you know, when people ask you that question, I know what I do. I say, well, help me out a little bit. He said, when I was a little boy in the Masonic home for children, you picked me up on Worth Baptist Church bus and took me to Sunday school. Amen. Thank God for the bus workers. Amen. You bus workers don't tire of it. Just a little boy. By the way, did you see those youngins come up here and shake hands with us a while ago? By the way, did you see the little girl? She passed up Rigsby and hugged my neck. I certainly can understand that. God bless you. Was it Esther? I believe it was Esther, yes. All right, anyway, I'm saying all this to say this. Just a little child. Don't despise the day of little things. Amen. After all, men, you were once a little boy. Take care of the children. Teach them, train them, tutor them. Bring them to Jesus. This little boy was unnamed. Did you read his name anywhere? By the way, Matthew, Mark, and Luke don't even mention him. Only John does. He's unnamed. He's unknown. He's unheard. But he was unselfish. He made a loan to Jesus Christ. And guess what? The interest was 1,200%. Now, you can't beat that at any bank. But I'm going to promise you, if you invest in the offering next week, you'll have a great dividend. You may not get back 1,200%, but you'll get back great dividends if you invest in God's cause, in the church, in the ministry, and the expansion program. Think about that and please do it. Well, this is the only miracle, by the way, that's recorded in all four of the gospel accounts. It must be of significance. I'm not preaching on that tonight, but I introduced it in verse 21. Now, let's get back to Peter. He finds himself in a pickle of a predicament. He had squirmed out of a lot of things before in his life, but now he found himself in a situation where he just did not know what to do. He was in the middle of the sea, in the middle of the night, in the middle of a storm. It's 3 o'clock in the morning, and the wind is blowing. I'm sure when they started out, it was all placid, all calm. Now, my wife and I and some of the folks from the church on one of our trips to the Holy Land could identify with that, because one day on the Sea of Galilee, we started out in about mid-morning, and the sea was as calm and flat as that floor. But before we got halfway over, the wind started blowing. Two mountains ranges on each side of the sea. They form a wind tunnel. And all of a sudden that wind comes up. And listen, the boat rocked so much that the captain got sick. Now that's going some, you know. The Sea of Galilee is probably the most storied body of water in the world. It is so beautiful. 13 miles long, 8 miles wide, and 150 feet deep. And here's Peter and the disciples in the midst of that storm. Listen, nothing short of a miracle would prove or provide the solution to Peter's dilemma. It had to be a miracle. I want to ask you a question. Did you ever find yourself in need of a miracle? In a situation where you didn't know what to do? By the way, if you do not have a problem, you are not in the market for a miracle. And if you don't have a problem, you ought to get on your knees tonight and say, "Dear God, what's the matter? Don't you trust me anymore? Give me a problem, because I need a miracle." Some of you are needing a miracle tonight, and God's able to perform it. And by the way, if you do not believe in miracles, you will never experience one. Now, I've entitled the message, "What Do You to Do When You Don't Know What to Do?" What to do when you don't know what to do? I submit in the first place, when you don't know what to do, you should ask for divine instructions. That's what Peter did, verse 28. "Lord, if it be thou," he had some question yet. He thought it was a spirit out there walking on the water. "If it really is you, Lord, bid me come to thee on the water." Paul wrote in Hebrews 4:16, "Let us therefore come boldly," not reluctantly, not hesitatingly, but boldly "to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." Amen. Jesus, here I go quoting Jesus already. I just love to quote Jesus. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, "Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For he that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. To him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there among you whom, if his son ask bread, will give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give your children good gifts, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to them that ask him?" God himself, by the way, I love to quote God too, you know. In Jeremiah 33, in verse 3, God extends this invitation, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Psalm 32, in verse 8, God said, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou should go. I would guide thee with mine eyes." By the way, I should tell you that God has 20/20 vision. No cataracts, no astigmatism, no blind spots, no glaucoma. Proverbs 33 and verse 18 says, "The eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him," that is, that trust him. I like that chorus. "I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me." In Psalm 33, and verse 18, you ought to make a note of that. Then Proverbs, the wise man said in chapter 3, Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Proverbs 4:7. He said, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and in all thy getting, get understanding. And in Proverbs 4:13, the wise man wrote, take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she, that is wisdom, is thy life. And James wrote about wisdom in chapter 3 at verse 17. The wisdom that is from above is gentle, first gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now I know what you're asking. Where can I get that wisdom? Well, I'm glad you asked. You got questions? We got answers. Right out of God's encyclopedia of truth. It comes in James chapter 1 and verse 5. Here's the formula. Please listen carefully. If any of you lack wisdom, let him dial Dallas. I got the wrong version. Will you fellas forgive me? Help me out, Johnson. If any of you lack wisdom, let him call California. You know, it's strange. We think if we call off somewhere to some distant place to some expert. You know, by the way, an expert is an ordinary expert away from home. So you call California or fax Phoenix or wire Washington. You're really in trouble now. Because if you go to the swamp, you're going to get things that are swampy. Not a good word, but I just made it up. If any of you lack wisdom, here it is, let him ask of God. Let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven of the wind, and tossed. God, listen, God uses problems and difficulties to show us who's in control. I submit to you in the second place, when you don't know what to do, move in the direction of Jesus. Verse 29, he said, that is, Jesus said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. He defied all the odds. Can you imagine the big fisherman out there walking on the water? Can you imagine how the other disciples in the boat must have reacted? I'm sure one of them said to the other, here he goes again. He's really going to get in trouble this time. He's out there, thinks he can walk on the water. Let me tell you something, folks. Even if you have to walk on the water, you can't go wrong to go in the direction of Jesus. Jesus said, come. That's a characteristic word of the Bible. Genesis 7:1, God said to Noah, come into the ark. Isaiah 1:18, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Revelation 22, the very last invitation, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever is preordained, no. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Listen, my friend, no one is excluded from Jesus' invitation to come. He's the only way to life, to light, to liberty, to hope, to holiness, to happiness, and ultimately to heaven. That's what he said. I believe what he said. John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And in John 6:37, still quoting Jesus, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will under no circumstance cast him out. Number three, when you don't know what to do, stop looking at the obstacles. Peter's obstacle was the wind. Verse 30 says, when he saw the wind boisterous, he began to sink. He was afraid. By the way, an obstacle is anything you see when you take your eyes off Jesus. As long as Peter kept his eyes on Jesus, all went well. No fear, no frustration, no failure, no danger of drowning. But the moment he took his eyes off Jesus, He saw what the wind was doing, and he was afraid. And verse 30 says he began to sink. Could I tell you, in all tenderness of my heart, when you take your eyes off Jesus, you are writing your own prescription for misery, unhappiness, heartache, disaster. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full into his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Number four, when you don't know what to do, call on Jesus to save you. That's what Peter did, verse 30. Now, he didn't say, now, dear Lord, omnipotent, omniscient, but he'd have drowned by that time. I mean, he was already on the way down. No, he just said, Lord, save me. And Jesus said, okay, Peter, I got a few questions for you. Did you go to Sunday school last Sunday? Did you stay for church? Did you tithe last Sunday? Did you come back on Sunday night? Did you attend on Wednesday night? By that time, Peter's 150 feet down. No. Jesus didn't put him through a litmus test. He just said, immediately, the Bible says, he stretched forth his hand and caught him. He was going down. You were going down, but Jesus reached out and caught you. Caught by the hand that made the universe, the stars, the moon, the sun, the planets, the earth, the heavens, and all that's therein. He reached out and caught him with his hand. Praise the Lord. That's just like Jesus to come to the rescue of one of his own. And it's just like Jesus to save any sinner that calls on his name. Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Number five, when you don't know what to do, stay with Jesus. Verse 32. Please watch this closely now. And when they, that's Peter and Jesus, when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Notice that it's they. Jesus was clinging to Peter. And you can bet your life that Peter was clinging to Jesus. After all, Jesus had yet saved him from a watery grave. By the way, you and I ought to cling to Jesus. He saved us from a fiery grave. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Jesus will continue, listen, to cling to us. That's what Paul said when he quoted Jesus. By the way, Paul loved to quote Jesus too. In Hebrews 13:8, I will never leave thee. Or 13:5 it is, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Isn't that wonderful? We have his promise. He's not going to let us go. Listen, John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man be able to pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man shall be able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Once in Christ forever. Nothing from his love my soul shall sever. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep. In Jesus, I'm safe evermore. I look one more time to say, when you don't know what to do, engage in worship. Verse 33 says, then they that were in the ship came and worshiped him. That word worship comes from an Anglo-Saxon word which means worthship or worthy. Revelation 4:11, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. And in Revelation 5:12, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing And Revelation 1:5, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, unto him be glory and dominion forever and forever. Amen. How would you like to have been with John when he received the revelation of Jesus on the Isle of Patmos? You know, when he received that revelation while he was exiled out there on that lonely windswept island, it was all about over. Come to the 22nd chapter, it's all over. You know what Peter, what John did? He knelt down and attempted to worship the angel. And the angel said, don't do that, John. I'm just one of you guys. Worship God. That's who we worship tonight. We've always worshiped God here. We always will worship God here. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Psalm 95 says, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise unto the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand, the strength of the hills is his. The sea is his and he made it. His hands formed the dry land. O come, watch it now, and let us worship. Bow down. Let us kneel, I like that. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, we're the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. I'm going to close with three practical truths that you need to lock in your heart. I hope you'll get them. Number one. Sooner or later, you will find yourself in a predicament where only Jesus can help you. I'm speaking to someone right this moment. You're in that predicament. You've tried everything else. You've wondered why and when and how. Only Jesus, listen folks, only Jesus can help you then. Truth number two. All you need to do is ask Jesus for his help. That's simple, isn't it? Lord, save me, Peter said. Truth number three. Jesus is always near and is ready, able, and willing to come to your rescue. Psalm 145 and verse 18 says, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, in truth. Why don't you call upon him tonight? Whatever the need is, whether small or great, whether it's yesterday or today or you anticipate it for tomorrow, call on Jesus tonight. Ask him to help you, and he will. Let's stand, please, for our prayer. Heads are bowed. Everybody's in a reverent attitude now. Please, I hope that you'll remain right where you are unless you're coming to the front. The altar is open. The invitation has already begun. If God has spoken to your heart, if God has shown you something out of this message from his word, not from Raymond Barber, but from his word by the Holy Spirit, if the Lord has shown you something that you need to come and talk to him about, the best place to get his attention is right here at an altar prayer. Why don't you just step out of your seat, even before we pray, before we sing, just step out of your seat. You don't have to wait. You don't have to wait till we sing. You don't have to wait till we pray. You don't have to wait till say the invitation. No, just step out of your seat right now. If you want to call on his name for something tonight that you need to call on his name for, just come on and call on him. Others are coming, and you may come too. Just step right out of your seat. Don't wait. Don't tarry. Please don't wait on somebody else, because somebody else may not come. If you feel the calling of the Lord in your heart, just step out of your seat. Come and find your place. I'm going to pray. Dr. Johnson's going to lead us in the invitation appeal. Father, we thank you for your timeless word. We know that we haven't done much to present it, but the Holy Spirit can take over and represent it and re-preach it to the hearts and minds of the people in this place. May it be so in Jesus' name.